The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher of KLMJ in Hampton and Ty Rushing with the Northwest Iowa Review. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thanks, Senator. We're just reading here in the last little bit that Mitch McConnell says there will be a procedural vote on the COVID-19 relief bill on October 19th, or a test vote. He says basically that the gridlock should not be holding up aid to help at least businesses, and wanted to know your thoughts about the situation as it stands.
Yeah, it's our frustration in the Senate that Pelosi and the White House can't get together. Pelosi wants more money than's reasonable. The president wants even more than what the Senate wants. And there's so much that's agreed to in what you might call a comprehensive agreement, but nobody will make a move with parts of what's agreed to. So the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, everybody agrees that X number of dollars, and I don't know what kind of dollars McConnell's gotten his, but X number of dollars ought to go to help small business so they can keep their employees on, just like we did in March. And there's $110 billion of that money that's not been used from the March appropriations, and it would probably be reauthorizing that plus more money, but I don't have a figure. But McConnell wants to get something going here, and we're going to be in session next week, and we ought to be trying to do what we can do. By the way, a commentary on if you've been watching the things, I just heard my senator from Minnesota say something about we ought to be working on COVID relief. We shouldn't be doing this nominee. If Congress only did one thing at a time, we'd get nothing done. So we could be working on COVID relief and still be having the hearing on Barrett. It's a stupid argument. Let's go to Ty.
Okay, Senator. Speaking of the hearing, I guess how is it not hypocritical to kind of push through Barrett's nomination after not allowing Garland a single hearing in 2016?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two answers, one for myself and then a historical answer, because the historical answer is why we're doing it now. And you're probably interested in why I wasn't interested in doing it in 2016. Part of the not doing it in 2016 is part of the historical answer. So the difference between 2016 and 2020 is this, that we had a divided government, president of one party, a senate of another party, and that was McConnell's reason for not bringing it up. And he would say that only once in more than a century has that happened, that a person was put on the Supreme Court. That would have been when Grover Cleveland, 1888, they did that. He was a Democrat, the Senate was Republican. Now we don't have a divided government. We have a Republican president, Republican Senate. Either 9 or 11 times throughout the history of our country, we put people on the Supreme Court under that. Now, I'm sure the reason you're asking me this question is because I was castigated by the people in Iowa that thought Garland should be on. I didn't use the historical argument. I used the argument that I was chairman of the committee and I wasn't going to hold a hearing for whatever reason you might want to give, but it probably fit into that historical reason. So as I was traveling to all my county meetings for Q&A, my opponents were there castigating me for not holding a hearing, and Obama should, Garland should have had a hearing, et cetera, et cetera. Then they asked me if I was chairman of the committee under like circumstances in 2020, would I hold a hearing? Several times in 2016 and even a few times since 2016. I was asked that question, and I said, no, I wouldn't hold a hearing if I were chairman of the committee. But I'm not chairman of the committee because I, under the rules of the Senate, if I wanted to chair the Finance Committee again. I had to chair it this Congress, or maybe I wouldn't get a chance to chair it again. And so I gave up the chairmanship of Judiciary. And so that what I said in 2016 doesn't apply to me. Graham's chairman of the committee. He wants to move ahead. I'm a member of the committee. The people of Iowa expect me to do my job, and if the chairman of a committee calls a committee meeting, I should be there. So that's why I'm participating in this process. Brian at Hampton.
Yeah, Senator, I know you've been talking lately about the election and the integrity of the election. Give us your take about where we stand now. We're just 3 weeks out from the election. Any concerns that have been brought to your attention?
Not in Iowa. I voted by mail, and I can track my ballot to make sure it gets there, and I haven't tracked it yet, but I'm sure it's at Allison, Iowa, where I live. I live in Butler County. But there's several other states where there's reason to have concern, not necessarily from fraud. The only fraud that I can tell you about is happened in New Jersey in June in a municipal election, and the people that were involved in the election were fraudulent. The candidates were. And the judge said, you got to have this election over again. And some of them may be prosecuted. But I'm more concerned about it from a mechanical standpoint. 50,000 ballots in Ohio that were printed wrong. They got to be printed again. You got 1,000 ballots went out duplicate to people in New York. But 1,000 may not be a lot for New York, but it's still 1,000 votes that could have been cast illegally if somebody wanted to cast two votes. And then somebody in Virginia that said his mother died 11 years ago and he got an absentee ballot for her. And today or yesterday, some German journalist in Washington, D.C. that isn't eligible to vote because he's not a citizen even, but he got a ballot. So it's things like that that ought to worry us. Or another one was some ballots that had probably been voted were found in a creek in Pennsylvania. So those things ought to concern all of us. But people are going to vote by mail. If they mail their ballot back soon enough, it'll get counted. But don't wait until the day before the election to mail it in some states. Because in Iowa, you got to have your ballot there at least by 9 o'clock election night. Let's go to Ty.
Okay, Senator, Mike. COVID rates continue to trend the wrong way in Iowa, especially here in the northwest part of the state. I guess I know it's out of your jurisdiction, but would you recommend for Governor Reynolds to implement a mask mandate or another shutdown?
I'm not going to recommend for her, but I try to follow all the protocols that the CDC puts in place for myself. I wear a mask. I got my mask right now on my chin below my lips talking to you. I don't need to repeat all those things you're supposed to do. And I would advise people, whether it's a mandate or not, wear a mask. It makes a big difference. And let's put it this way. Let's suppose even you hear stories one way or the other. Some say it's the answer to our problems. Other people say it doesn't do any good. But for me, I kind of do it like I do politics and policy. You may not know something you're doing is going to do any good, but if there's no known negatives, you ought to do it. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no known negatives against wearing a mask. So if you want to take advice from me instead of me giving advice to the governor, tell your people, I say they should wear a mask, and I'm doing it. Back to Brian.
Senator, with what happened with the president, with his COVID-19 situation, and given your status as president pro tempore of the Senate, what was going through your mind when all that went down?
Well, kind of all the precautions the president has taken. Obviously, he doesn't take them 100% of the time, but every time I see the cautions he's taken, like social distancing and sometimes wearing a mask, I was surprised. But it doesn't matter. It just shows you how vicious the virus is, and you can't be too cautious. Back to Ty.
Okay.
And Ty, yours is the last question because I got a 2:15 appointment.
Oh, no problem. I was going to say, like, I know for Senator Ernst, you've been kind of a mentor for her in the Senate. Were she to lose re-election, would you offer that same helping hand to Greenfield?
Well, first of all, Ernst is going to win, and I don't have to worry about that. But I've been able to work with I think I've had 3 different colleagues now since I've been in the Senate, and I've been able to work with all of them. Okay, thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Right, thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Brian and Ty, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.